Hello and welcome to LCC. Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. We want to invite you to sing along with us. Let's sing Angels.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Let's sing Gloria.
Las estrellas, la noche cuando nació el Señor. El mundo envuelto estuvo en sus querellas hasta que Dios nos envió al Salvador. Una esperanza todo el mundo siente, la luz de un nuevo día al fin brilló. Oh, con gratitud, postrados a adorarle, oír de lo alto la voz angelical, oír cantar nació.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Oh, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. Buenas noches y Feliz Navidad. You guys can have a seat. It is so good to see each one of you this evening, and we are so excited to celebrate with you this evening the birth of Jesus. If you're one of the littlest ones in the room and you didn't get a coloring sheet on your way in, you can find those, mom or dad, at the main doors right here. Though, I will say, there will be enough going on up here in a second that you might not want to look down at a coloring page. You might want to just keep your eyes right up here. The other thing, if you don't have a candle, that's going to be really important here in a little bit. So there's extras of those outside the main doors and also on the counter straight in front of me. Tonight, we want to invite you to sing with us, to see and hear the story of Jesus and his birth. A couple of things to let you know. One is, if you could do us a favor and remain seated throughout the service, that would be great. Now, there's going to be one part at the end with a certain song with a candle that we're going to invite you to stand up for, but we'll let you know when that is, okay? So if you could, just stay seated. Even during the songs, you sing out as much as you want, but if you could stay seated, that would be great. So now I want to invite you to get comfortable. Lean in a little bit as we explore together the arrival of Jesus.
The noise and the bustle began earlier than usual in the village. As night gave way to dawn, people were already on the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on the corners of the most heavily traveled avenues. Store owners were unlocking the doors to their shops. Children were awakened by the excited barking of the street dogs and the complaints of the donkeys pulling carts. The owner of the inn had awakened earlier than most in the town. After all, the inn was full, all the beds were taken. Every available mat or blanket had been put to use. Soon, all the customers would be stirring, and there would be a lot of work to do. One's imagination is kindled thinking about the conversation of the innkeeper and his family at the breakfast table. Did anyone mention the arrival of the young couple the night before? Did anyone comment on the pregnancy of the girl on the donkey? Perhaps. Perhaps someone raised the subject, but at best it was raised, not discussed. There was nothing that novel about them. They were possibly one of several families turned away that night. Besides, who had time to talk about them when there was so much excitement in the air? Augustus did the economy of Bethlehem a favor when he decreed that a census should be taken. Who could remember when such commerce had hit the village? No, it is doubtful that anyone mentioned the couple's arrival or wondered about the condition of the girl. They were too busy. The day was upon them. The day's bread had to be made. The morning's chores had to be done. There was too much to do to imagine that the impossible had occurred. God had entered the world as a baby.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
No, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to save the world.
Yet, were someone to chance upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. The stable stinks like all stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep reeks pungently in the air. The ground is hard, the hay scarce. Cobwebs cling to the ceiling, and a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. Off to one side sit a group of shepherds. They sit silently, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him. So on this cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. Near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, he is. He can't remember the last time he sat down. And now that the excitement has subsided a bit, now that Mary and the baby are comfortable, he leans against the wall of the stable and feels his eyes grow heavy. He still hasn't figured it all out. The mystery of the event still puzzles him. But he hasn't the energy to wrestle with the questions. What's important is that the baby is fine and that Mary is safe. As sleep comes, he remembers the name the angel told him to use, Jesus. We will call him Jesus. Wide awake is Mary. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off of him. Somehow, Mary knows that she is holding God. So this is he. She remembers the words of the angel. His kingdom will never end.
Born the King of Angels.
Jesus, to thee be a glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You are the Lord. You are.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told.
Praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever.
He looks anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? The baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen. And worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds.
child is peaceful, lay to rest on Mary's lap, sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch again. Shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the faithful Son of Mary. So bring him in since I and keen to walk him, the King of Kings, salvation's prince, let loving hearts and trust him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should despise him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Meanwhile, the city hums. The merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he has just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed his majesty's arrival that night, they missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Little has changed in the last 2,000 years, has it?
Thank you.
as the Maker has made himself known. All hail the infinite infant God. The one who has no start and knows no end became confined in time and tense. The everlasting God, the great I am, the mercy of a mother's hands. Oh, come now, hail his arrival, the God. Royalty robed in the flesh he created. Jesus the Maker has made himself known. All hail the infinite infant God. Creases of his hands is the one who holds my heart like a mother once held him. The one who knows where lies, where space has run its course, embraced a baby's mind, and now I can know my God, the monarch of the stars. The King above all kings, the ruler of my heart, and the Savior for my sins, the one who sees what lies in each and every soul, embraced our finite eyes, and now we can see.
We praise and we worship you with our voices and our hearts and our minds tonight. We love you and amen.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Bienvenidos. It's great to be here with you. I'm Dan. If I've not met you, it is. It's wonderful to be here. There's no place I'd rather be than here together with the body of Christ tonight, anticipating, remembering, reliving the birth of the Savior. And through all the activity that's in our world that attaches itself to Jesus' birth, the question I think for us is, Have we seen him? Are we seeing him? Will we? Will we see him? When life ramps up, when it gets busy, one can miss the simplest things. Have you ever had this happen to you? You're getting ready to go somewhere, you can't find your keys, right? And you're going crazy. You're just agitated by it, and you're blaming your family, you're blaming your friends, your roommates, whoever it is. Clearly they're messing with you, right? They've taken your keys. Until you stop and you realize they're right in your hands, right? You ever had that happen? It's literally right under your nose, and you missed it in all the frenzy of looking for it and going crazy. It is a wonder to imagine and think about Bethlehem on that night. Busy, just overwhelmed with travelers, a city that's distracted, merchants opening early, getting ready for business, seizing the opportunity, the sounds of animals in the distance, families trying to find lodging, everyone with something just very urgent to do. It's busy. And in the middle of all that commotion, God slips in. He slips quietly into the world. No fanfare, no elaborate procession. A teenage girl, a weary carpenter, a smelly stable, a baby. And almost everyone missed it. Almost everyone missed it. Luke 2 begins this way. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, a Roman census, a government order. We're familiar with those, right? A disruption, crowds, travel, stress. And yet, that decree that went out became the setting for where God fulfilled promises that he made long ago, promises that he spoke to the people way before about what would happen to the prophet Micah, through the prophet Micah. He said, "But you, Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, one whose origins are from old, from eternity." The world was moving. It's in motion. Things are happening, but God was arriving. And God, he comes quietly. So quietly that we can miss him. We can miss him. In the story we heard, which is, you know, a creative imagining of what might have happened, the innkeeper woke before dawn. He didn't realize that the couple that he turned away had just brought God into the world. He wasn't malicious. He was just busy. And that's just the truth. Most missed his arrival, not because they were opposed to it or against it, but because they just weren't looking for it. The merchants counting money. Travelers finding their beds. The innkeeper busy. And all the while, just a little ways away, the Savior of the world was lying in a manger. Isn't that crazy to think about? John writes, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They didn't expect God to arrive in the fashion that he did. God in rags? God in a vulnerable state? God in a feeding trough? But that's exactly the kind of God we have. John tells us the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. Among us. So God comes quietly. So quietly sometimes we can miss him. But God comes to those who are listening. And we think about that amazing night. The only people who noticed were the shepherds, right? The lowest of society. Why them? Why the shepherds? They had time to hear. Their job, the quiet nights, open skies, hearts not filled with noise. I kind of envy the shepherds sometimes when I think about that. And into that openness comes this dramatic announcement. Fear not, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. The shepherds, they didn't have power. They didn't have status. They weren't even probably really wanted in most homes. They kind of smelled. But they had something that the rest of Bethlehem didn't have. Availability. Availability. They were available. And God still moves that way today. He comes to those who are open-hearted, who are listening. The heart that's not crowded with hurry, with self-sufficiency. So God comes quietly. So quietly we can miss him. He comes, though, to those who are listening. And he comes in humility. In humility to bring us hope. There's something breathtaking about that scene. Mary holding Jesus, God in the flesh. Joseph exhausted, like Mary wasn't, but faithful. Shepherds kneeling down in just wonder and amazement as we heard majesty in the midst of the ordinary, holiness in the midst of filth. Deity wrapped in vulnerability. The Apostle Paul captured it perfectly when he said, though Jesus, Jesus, was in the form of God, he emptied himself, being born in the likeness of men. Christmas is not just a sweet story. It is the moment God stepped into the world to rescue us. The King had arrived, and this king wasn't wrapped in silk and royal clothes. He was in rags. This king's throne would become a cross. This king, his victory would be achieved through laying down his life and picking it back up again. Remember, the angel told Joseph in that dream, he said, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph did just that. He named him Jesus, and Jesus went on to do just that, to save, to provide a way for us to know God. The humble arrival of our King. You cannot miss this. It means that no one is beyond his reach. No place is too dirty for his presence. No life is too messy for his grace to enter. If God can enter a stable, he can enter your life. And now we find ourselves thousands of years later. But have things really changed? Because Christmas is full of so many wonderful tangential kind of things, right? Family, food, traditions, gifts. But in those things and surrounding those things, there's also a lot of noise. And if we're not careful, we too can miss the arrival of Jesus. In our hearts, we can lose sight of him. Can you see the love of your Savior? Can you see his love? Paul prayed this for the followers of Jesus. He said, this is an amazing prayer. He prayed in Ephesians that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth of his love. Test its length. Plumb the depths of his love. Rise to the heights of it. Live in the fullness of him. Tonight, there's an invitation for all of us, a real offer, and it's this. Slow down. Slow down. Look again. Look again. Listen. Listen. The God of the universe has come close. He's right under our nose. He's entered our world, our pain, our humanity, and he's come for you. Don't miss it. What will we do with this king? The shepherds came and worshiped. Mary treasured these things in her heart. Joseph obeyed. Bethlehem, they slept. Which one will it be for you? We can't miss the reason he came. We can't miss him. He, the Savior, came to save you and I from our sins so that he could come and make his home with us. Jesus has come. Merry Christmas to you. May we be those who look to him, who welcome him, who open our hearts, and who worship him. Would you stand and would you pray with me? Father, on what we call this silent night, we remember. We remember how you came, the manner in which you came, and what it communicates to us. Thank you, God, for entering our world. Thank you for coming to the ordinary. And we remember why you came. God, thank you for this love that we don't understand, but this love that comes from you, that compels you to save, to come, and to want us. And we're so grateful for it. Jesus, we don't want to keep this for ourselves. You called yourself the light of the world that shines in the darkness. So help us as we open our hearts and as we draw near to you to not keep this gift for ourselves. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have a tradition. So we're going to sing.
Noche de amor.
Jesus, praise you tonight. And we want to stay centered on you and walk with you. We don't want to miss all that you are and all that you've done. We embrace you tonight as our King and our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and put out your candles. Be careful. Be careful. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. It is a gift to be able to be together as the body of Christ. Before you go, just want to tell you real quick that on Sunday we've got our holiday potluck brunch. So if you want to come, we'd love to have you. MyLCC.info has all the information. We hope you have the merriest of Christmases and a great night. Feliz Navidad. We'll see you.